evil is very real and very powerful. When we, as followers of Jesus Christ, take a dim view of sin, we don't do so because we feel ourselves holier than anybody else. We don't do so because we feel that, you know, having fun or something like that is bad. It's because we know just how dangerous and powerful evil is, and just how easily sin leads us in that direction. In the gospel reading today, Jesus encounters a demon-possessed man who is naked, who doesn't live in a house, he lives in the tombs, who cannot be restrained. How did he get this way? Well, the story obviously doesn't say. But in another place, Jesus talks about how important it is to replace that demonic influence with something good. When he talks about the man from whom demons are cast out, and then it's like, oh, it's a nice place, it's all clean and swept tidy, and another demon finds it and says, oh, this is great, and invites a whole bunch more in. And then he's worse off than he was before. And so, and given our first-hand experience of sin, we can kind of start to see how, yes, this man was possessed by a whole legion of demons, but it probably didn't start that way. It probably started a lot smaller, a lot simpler, like it usually does with us. In gluttony, not a huge, horrible problem. Right? You know, just one more sandwich or just one more Girl Guide cookie. And yet, behind that just one more is a whole host of rationalizations that are cropping up. And a whole bunch of brain activity where we're using that, or rather abusing that ability to reason in the service of our appetite. In the service of what we want for ourselves. And so we have that, and then we have another, and then we rationalize, well, you know, this person at work doesn't really need that. It's been sitting in the fridge for quite a few days now, and it probably would want me to eat it anyway, and so on and so forth. Anger. There's lots of things for us to get angry about. And you know, so often it's not really something terribly serious. You know, that person who cuts us off in traffic, or that person who, you know, cuts in front of us in the lineup, or whatever. You know, that coworker who just can't seem to pull things together and get things in on time, and we are always the ones who suffer from it, or the people who can't clean up after themselves, or whatever it may be. But our focus there is on ourselves, how it impacts us. And it can lead down a terrible, horrible, destructive path. The very first murder. Cain, killing his brother Abel, came about because of some annoyance and jealousy over God accepting Abel's sacrifice, but not Cain's. And God, in his mercy, actually warns Cain before it happens. He says to Cain, when Cain is displeased because God hasn't accepted his sacrifice, to look out, because sin is crouching at the door. Its desire is against you, and you must master it. Sin, as it's entertained, becomes habitual. And as it becomes habitual, it begins to control us. And then we find ourselves in the horrible situation that this man found himself in. He was naked. The clothes that normally covered him and protected him and kept him safe from the elements and covered up his shame, he stripped away, were stripped away from him by the demons that now controlled him. And all his vulnerability and nakedness and shame were evident to all. Sin does that to us. He didn't live in a house, he lived in a tomb. Surrounded not by the living, but by the dead. Sin does that to our relationships. As the possession got worse, his friends, his neighbors tried to restrain him, tried to help him. Now, don't go there. Don't do that. This is destructive. But sin gave him a terrible and evil power to break the bonds that were being placed on him for his salvation, to restrain him, to help him. And he was driven by them into the wilderness. And he was helpless and in agony and in torment and alone and naked and afraid. And into this horror in which he had lived and been captive for a long time comes Jesus. Evil is very real and very powerful. But when it encounters the presence of Jesus, it's afraid. What have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Have you come to torment me? How horribly ironic. The demons that possess this man have been tormenting him lo these many years, and now they're being tormented, and all they can think about is their own torment. It's like, you're making my life miserable. That's evil. That's self-centeredness. Jesus is, by his very presence, tormenting and forcing the spirits to go out. And now he finally, as they beg him to not to send them into the abyss, it's like, there's a herd of swine over there. You could just send us into the swine. He simply says one word, go. And they go, they leave the man. He's finally free. And they go and enter into the herd of swine. And the herd of swine, as one, goes running off the cliff into the lake and are drowned. And here, this one's got me thinking. It's always been kind of niggling at the back of my mind, but it's kind of an interesting contrast. The swine, when they encounter the presence of evil, are so disturbed by it, they just kill themselves. And here this man hasn't. And of course, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we understand that suicide is not an option. Life is the gift of God. And yet, that holding on to life meant that this man was in torment, in agony, for year upon year, as the sin which had total control over him made his life a living hell. And yet, he held on. He held on for something. And that one tiny scrap of hope that he had held on to, that one thing that kept him going, whatever it was, I'm sure it wasn't, oh, Jesus is going to come and save me. It must have been something good preserved him, kept him alive, so that when Christ finally came, when he finally encountered Jesus, he was ready to be set free. He was waiting. This was what he needed all along. Which I think needs to be an encouragement to us to hang on, to persevere. When we are in the depths of despair, being driven into despair by that besetting sin, by that sin that we cannot seem to get rid of, that always seems to sneak up on us and ambush us and overtake us and now controls us, hang on. Jesus is coming. He will set us free. Having set the man free, the swineherds who have seen this run away and tell everybody about this horrible disaster that's happened to the pigs. And then they come back and they find this demon-possessed man, this crazy man, clothed in his right mind, sitting at Jesus' feet. And they were afraid. One of the things that characterizes us in our evil-riddenness, in our selfishness, is that we actually find holiness a little bit scary. Because it might make demands of us. It might require us to change our lives as this person's life has been changed. It might demand of us that we give up that whatever it is that we're holding on to. And their response is to ask Jesus to leave, which he does. God does not force himself on us. And as he's going, the formerly demon-possessed man asks him to come with him. He wants to be in Jesus' presence. Because as we experience life, freedom, holiness, goodness, as we've gotten a taste for that, we want more. We want to continue to sit at Jesus' feet. to be able to see clearly as we are freed from the passions that are dragging us in every direction, and to stay there with him always. And he tells him, no, you don't get to do that. You need to go and tell other people what God has done for you. It's a hard assignment. It's much harder than continuing in the presence of Jesus. We don't have that beautiful clarity of thought. We don't get to always experience that amazing sense of peace in the presence of Jesus Christ. We're here in this world, and it's hard, and it's difficult, and we get confused and distracted, and sometimes even caught again in sin. But what this man did is what we need to do. He went and he told everybody what God had done for him. His focus continued to be on the amazing deliverance that he had received from Christ. And that's what kept him focused. That was his new mission in life. He needed to share this, what good things that God had done for him. And so, as we continue the struggle with sin, we need to continue to be aware of just how horrible it is, of the evil and the loss of freedom that it is actually luring us towards. We need, however, in the midst of that struggle, to not ever lose hope, not ever give up, not ever give in, because Jesus is coming. We need to continue in prayer, sitting at the feet of Jesus, basking in his presence, reminding ourselves of all that God has done for us. And we need to share that. We need to let others know, you know, where whatever small degree of joy, whatever victory we have received, all of it comes from God. And all those around us who are struggling with the same things that we are struggling with it need it too, that they may join us in glorifying God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and ever, and unto ages of ages.